Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. I'm your host, Blois Olson. It is February 8th, 2026, and it's another week with big issues, big challenges, and big politics. The caucuses were earlier this week. Lisa Daymuth had a decisive victory. The other piece that really came out in the governor's race was finances. You can follow along at the Daily Agenda or go to the fluenceelectiontracker.com. We have all the fundraising and details on all the major races there, if that's something you want to check out and watch. But Lisa Daymuth has a significant fundraising advantage. She's followed only by Kristen Robbins, who didn't perform as well in the straw poll on caucus night, but has the financial resources and kind of she holds her own in a certain lane of Republicans. Kendall Qualls finished second, but his fundraising, while he raises a lot, he also spends a lot, and that's not sustainable unless you're the front runner. And so that's what to watch on the Republican side. Amy Klobuchar, no fundraising because she got in after the first of the year. And second, she also did fine in the caucus night, but there's a slight chance that she gets some challenge from the far left in her race for governor on the Democratic side. But, after a month of breaking news about federal agents being here, about citizens being killed by federal agents, I'm going to try to start to pivot to the big issues of the state, the big issues of the year. We're about a week and 2 days away from the legislative session starting. And so I think the issues that we need to dive into are starting to be more based on things from the community, things within the business, healthcare, agriculture, the economy, housing, those kinds of issues, and try to set the stage, set the table for the discussions that will start in the legislative session, go through the campaign, and then shape the future of our state and our communities. And so this week, I'm going to start with a big issue. This is going to be a major issue at the legislative session, but it plugs into our larger healthcare ecosystem, and that is HCMC. The state doesn't fund HCMC directly, but Hennepin County does, the largest county. The taxpayers are the backstop for HCMC, and yet HCMC serves the whole state. 40% of its visitors are from outside of Hennepin County. It has a nationally recognized burn unit, trauma center, and so the whole state uses it, and they have some financial challenges. It is very volatile financially in healthcare right now, and HCMC is the latest illustration. So when we come back, Commissioner Jeff Lundy and Dr. Kevin Crossan, they're going to talk about what HCMC needs to try to find some financial stability. I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. My first guest is Commissioner Jeff Lundy. He's a Hennepin County Commissioner. And as I mentioned in the open, HCMC, the medical center, is a critical part of the healthcare system in Minnesota, in the metro area, and it's county run. And one of the challenges with modern healthcare is where does a public facility fit? How do you pay for it? Why does it have some financial pain points? And what's the county's vision for how to stabilize the financial situation at HCMC? Commissioner Lundy, thanks for joining me.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Just start by, explaining, the capacity of HCMC, how the governance of HCMC works, the county board's oversight of it, and where it fits in the spectrum of things that the county board's expected to make sure run well, like a sheriff's department and various other public services.
I think if you go back in time, the hospital actually was a department within Hennepin County up until 2007. And at that time, with the approval of the state legislature, who had put some language into state law, we were able to create a shared subsidiary. So basically, HCMC is a wholly owned subsidiary of Hennepin County. That allows it to have some of the benefits, but also have some independence. And it was really meant to be, let them run themselves, have professionals there. But yet, at the end of the day, their budget is ultimately approved. It was at every year. We have oversight. We have insight, hopefully, and it worked, I think, and has continued to build itself out. And then, within COVID came, and I think as some of the healthcare costs started to shift, where costs were being borne more and more locally, with hospitals having to pick up burdens, state and federal aid were not keeping up with the cost. COVID and ARPA money, those two kind of grant subjects, they kind of covered up the fact that we were kind of starting to deaccelerate on being able to cover our costs. And so, you had this moment where you're like, hey, things are going well. We've got money. We're able to invest in community during the COVID era. And then as we exited that money, where COVID and the ARPA money expired, you found yourself, like if you went out on a Friday night and realized at the end of the night you ran out of money at 10 p.m. and started using the credit card. And so what the county is, basically, we're the backstop. And so if you think about, your kids, if you have them in college or high school and they overdraft, you look at the account on Saturday morning and you go, oh my God, I got to put some money in there. That's what the county board has to do, is we are the sum total of making things equal zero. And so what has happened recently is that's accelerating.
When we've seen this in other healthcare settings, is it accelerating more at the county level? And when you look at the entire county budget and the obligation to be that backstop, what kind of dollars are we talking about? Are we talking about hundreds of millions, billions? What, as county taxpayers, what do taxpayers need to know about the obligations to HCMC?
Yeah, I think things have accelerated because as rural healthcare has kind of just started to disappear, you see clinics, being bought and just closed. It kind of shrinks where people's options are. And then, we are a safety net hospital. It means we take people as they arrive. We don't say, oh, you don't have insurance. Sorry, we can't provide care for you. Emergency situations, clearly you have to, but we tend to take on a higher percentage. And I think a couple of stats are really telling for Hennepin County property tax owners and also the rest of the state is, 40% of our patients that are admitted at the trauma and burn unit are from not from Hennepin County. 24% of our uncompensated patients are actually not from Hennepin County. About nearly 30% of all patients at Hennepin County, HCMC, are not from Hennepin County. But make no doubt about it, all costs are borne by Hennepin County property taxpayers. So we have a case where we are increasingly providing care for the rest of the state, especially if we're uncompensated. But those cost, overruns are only paid for by Hennepin County residents. So we are carrying health care for the failure of health care in the rural areas. And that's not their fault. It's just this is how the system that we've built in America works. And because HCMC is a safety net hospital, we become the safety net hospital, not just for Hennepin, but for many, many counties.
As you think about, let's just take the trauma and burn unit. I know that's a statewide asset, things like that. Where do you have an idea of where the greatest amount of uncompensated care is coming from? Is it coming from emergency care? Is it coming from just people who don't have coverage? Because I think whenever we're talking about healthcare, which we do a lot, can look at, the Affordable Care Act, we COVID, and we still continue to have this these kind of missed puzzle pieces. What is it? Is it government reimbursement, or is it other programs that aren't covering the cost of care, like from the federal government?
Yeah, I think, I'll give the worst answer of all. I'll say it's all the above. And then when you put them in a package, you end up with that a bigger gap. And so, just to kind of pull it out, uncompensated care can be many things. So people tend to think, oh, it's poor people, it's people from other countries. That's a common mistake. It can be people who are underinsured. It could be people who cap out. It could be people who are self-employed. There's a variety of ways where people can arrive uncompensated. Typically, people who in come to HCMC through the trauma and the burn unit. If a cook gets burned in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and their burns were their burn unit, by the way, for the Dakotas, Northern Iowa, and West Wisconsin, they probably arrive with insurance or some kind of coverage because of their benefits. So if it's a work related, if it's a trauma, if they're in a car accident, they probably have car insurance. So they tend to arrive with more coverage. But if care costs a dollar, having coverage doesn't mean we get a dollar. It might make we get 80 cents if they're so that gap is widening. As I like to say, there's money in healthcare. It's just not with the patients nor the caregivers. And so you tend to, just look at the earnings statements for insurance companies. They seem to do quite well. Their CEOs tend to make ends meet. And so you know where the money's going, but it's those gaps are widening.
Commissioner Jeff Lundy is my guest here on Sunday Take. We're talking about HCMC as an asset. And Commissioner, I do want to kind of call out the idea, though, that you talk about, caregivers and labor. Labor costs in healthcare have risen at all levels. And one of the key things in Minnesota, and this is across the state, that we have some of the most highly compensated nurses and caregivers in the state. And I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just squeezing overall where we're at. Have there been proposals to try to hold on to the cost of labor? Are there proposals that you, as the county board, want to pursue in the either upcoming legislative session or you want Hennepin County taxpayers to be aware of right now?
Yeah, I think what we are doing, I think, as we talk about the challenges on reimbursements, there's also the flip side is the end question, which is we need to make HCMC more efficient. The productivity, doctors, nurses need to be seeing more patients. We need to be billing effectively and promptly so that if there's money to cover care, that we're getting it as soon as possible. So I think, our focus has been kind of all of the above is controlling costs. I think as the board took direct control back, when it spun out in 2007, we had a hospital board that was named. Well, last August, the Board of Commissioners took direct control and, I became chair of the board. We started to get much more involved with some of those. I'd call it a couple decades worth of bad habits have built up. And so we're getting those fixed. I think it's a fair statement that just changing reimbursement rates doesn't fix completely that problem. We need to get better, more efficient. How do we do things? And also, I think we've had mission creep where we've started to expand into things that is that core mission? Because nowadays, hospitals want to be everything to everyone. And I think we're saying, and you're going to see other hospitals do the same thing. It's like, we're not going to be everything, everything. North Memorial has a really good program here. We're going to use them as a partner. And so we're going to look at ways that we can become more efficient where it makes financial sense, that we will pull out of things that just simply are not, our core mission. Because we are known for trauma. And not just in Minnesota, but all the states around us. So that is a core mission. And so we can live up to that.
When you think about those other things that you need to do, is there a specific proposal you're going to try to bring forward at the legislature? What is it, and what does it help do to stabilize HCMC?
Yeah, I think, it's a two-part thing. One is we need to be better managing our business and getting more focus. What we're bringing forth to the legislature is asking to repurpose the ballpark sales tax, which is existing right now to help pay for Target Field, and increasing that to 1%. And so we are saying we're still going to work with our good partners at the Minnesota Twins on the stadium, which has worked awesome. I mean, everyone, was like, oh, I don't want to do this, but everyone loves it. Of course, we want better results in the field, like everyone. We want to continue to work, library hours, sports grants. We're going to expand our partnership with North Memorial because their mission of their hospital is similar to ours. They are, people who serve patients as they come. But we need to invest in Hennepin Healthcare going forward. And then let me add that one part. I've only been talking about financial challenges. The federal government has changed reimbursements. And so those reimbursements we know for Hennepin Healthcare is going to be about $1.7 billion over 10 years. So we know the headwinds coming are going to be that if we were great at $0, every year we've got to come up with $170 million of cuts. And so we've got to get things right sized now. And so we're asking the legislature and, those stats I talked about, the percentage of people who come from outside Hennepin to our hospital, and we receive them, we give them great care, we welcome them, but all the costs are borne by the property tax owners in Hennepin County. And so that sales tax allows us to capture, and according to our calculations, probably about 24% of a sales tax would come from outside Hennepin. And we think that's fair. It is not the job of a retiree in Hopkins, Minnesota, to cover care for people who don't live in Hennepin. And that's just a simple fact, and I wouldn't expect other people to carry ours. So that's our proposal we'll be bringing forward. It is critical. And you know, just to put a kind of a bow on that package, if we don't get that sales tax, we will be having a different discussion. And that discussion will be, what happens when you get that burn in Bemidji and you need a place? HCMC, if it's not open, and I say those words very specifically, if it's not open, no care gets provided. And so that's our challenge.
When you say if it's not open, what's the horizon if the legislature doesn't do this session? Does HCMC close within a year, 2 years, 5 years?
I think no matter, let's just say, no matter what happens at the legislature, the hospital is going to change. If we don't get the sales tax, one of those changes will be a option to close. We the headwinds, those hundreds of millions of dollars, every $10 million is a tax levy point. So you can do the math. We're looking at needing $350 million over the next few years for all things hospital related. That, you know, do the math. It's a 35% tax levy increase. Never going to happen. We don't have the ability to levy that much, nor would we take that vote. So closure of the hospital is absolutely increases the chances if we don't get that sales tax. If we get the sales tax, we can make things work. But it's, you know, it's kind of like everything. As every couple of weeks when we make payroll, that deficit becomes lower and lower, and it's covered by Hennepin County property tax owners.
Just as we close here, Commissioner Lundy, what when you think about modernizing a public hospital like this, are there models across the country that have worked, or is this a pain point across the country for public hospitals?
I think what it is, and I want to say all hospitals in Minnesota are having challenges. So I'm not going to act like, oh, we're the only one. No, we're not. You talk to any hospital, though, their story will be our story. It's just our patient mix and where our patients come from is different. What we've seen is a couple different models is people try to sell the hospital, right? We're going to merge it with someone else. We don't think anybody financially is going to take on a hospital that has the patient mix we have. Other people have tried to use private equity. I think Philadelphia had one that is just, you might as well close it because that's what private equity does really good is, you know, suck the blood out of something and then drop the bones off in the trash. So we don't think that's an option. But what we have seen is that closure is increasingly one of those options. Focusing, you know, core missions is another option. You know, I think Dr. Crossan, he would always talk better, and I'll steal some of his thunder is, you know, you talk about weight management and how it's being done nowadays. If you're not doing a certain number of medical procedures, as in surgeries, you can't make things meet. So it becomes a case of, hey, Allina does this really good. We're going to refer our patients there. And, you know, the last thing I just want people to think about, whether, you know, whether the legislature or the public, the closure of HCMC doesn't remove the patients. It just means the patients are going to find someplace else to go. And so the patients don't just disappear with the hospital. They remain, their needs remain. And so we know and we believe that is a core function. So we're saying to the legislature, we're not asking for money because I know the realities of the legislature nowadays. We're not going to get it. Let us repurpose the sales tax. Let us try to continue to do what we're doing, and we'll make things work as best we can.
Commissioner Jeff Lundy, thanks for joining us on the Sunday Take.
Okay, thank you.
When we come back, Kevin Costin talking about healthcare in a public setting, in a big public-owned hospital. What can be innovated? What can be changed? I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We are back on Sunday Take. My guest is J. Kevin Costin. He's a medical leader. Healthcare leader. He's been in and around Minnesota healthcare for a long time. He's now at HCMC helping them work out their issues. Dr. Crossland, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Just kick it off as you looked at, I brought this up with Commissioner Lundy. We've, for 25, 30 years. We've talked about healthcare reform. We've talked about the Affordable Care Act. HCMC is in a unique position. It's been touted. It's world class, the burn center, the trauma. But the costs of healthcare and the finances of healthcare have become more and more complex. And it's almost one of those places where my mom used to call it hospitalization. Do you have your hospitalization insurance, son? And now we know what insurance costs are and what procedures are. As you look at HCMC as a healthcare institution and operator, where do you see the opportunity to, to make it better and make it more cost effective?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a couple things. First of all, what's morphed over the years is the fact that while we are a healthcare leader at Hennepin County Medical Center, I mean, the specialists and the care medical care that's provided there is second to nowhere. The issue has become there just isn't enough housing. There isn't enough support out in the community. We've spent about the last iteration of decades talking about population health and other things. And the reality is, the socioeconomic issues that face us are really what are causing a lot of our healthcare concerns. And as a hospital, we end up, every health system in Minnesota, let me start by saying this, faces this issue to a certain degree. Hennepin County Medical Center just faces more of it as a bigger percentage of the overall population that actually uses our facilities. And that's that they come in and people aren't in a position to be able to be sent somewhere to be cared for. They don't necessarily need to be hospitalized, but they've got some condition and it's 50 below zero out and you don't have any place to send them. And what do you do? And so there's a lot of that. Once people get into the hospital in that setting, they're not, as you might be surprised to find out, they're not that anxious to leave because they, get meals and they get care that's really good. And the people there are very compassionate about the people that come through, the patients that come through. So that issue is one thing. The second thing is that Hennepin County Medical Center has needs to pivot its direction a little bit and become a leaner, better run, more disciplined operation than it's been. I say this to our team members when we talk in our team lead leader meetings. I love the passion there. It's kind of crazy how everybody that comes in there feels like they're in there for a purpose. What I don't love is the lack of discipline because passion without discipline results in chaos, and we've people bring a lot of their political views and bring a lot of their social views into their work with them. And while, it's a good forum to have a conversation, we still have to run a business. And so that's our hope is that we can get the right leadership in place. I think we're on our way to that. We're going to have to downsize a little bit to make it leaner. And we're going to have to learn a new dynamic instead of, it seems like over the years, it's been do anything we can for everybody that arrives. I think it's going to have to truthfully be, we're going to do the best we can with what we have going forward, which is still pretty darn good. And there's a lot of examples of that across the country where other county systems have either gone to the state or have downsized and right-sized. And we're looking at all those models right now.
One of the things you brought up population health, and I think of this in a very macro sense. So I want to be clear that this is one of the pieces of healthcare reform that we all discussed and we talked and we debated about is that we were going to reward people for keeping people healthy. We were going to make sure that there was systems to lower costs. What are the cost drivers? Is it population? Is it other factors across healthcare? We know we have a labor shortage. We know a labor shortage is out there, but we also know that technology and innovation, pharmaceuticals, there's all kinds of reasons that healthcare draws financial resources. And so, what do you see as the drivers at HCMC that could tweak, maybe lower some costs for some folks or lower some costs for you on the actual delivery of healthcare?
Yeah, I think there's a variety of things. So one thing is the way we staff our hospitals. Everybody's, there's a lot of noise about staffing ratios and who doesn't want more nurses at the bedside. All of us do. It's really more of a question of what we can afford. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of that. But we're going to have to use people at the top of their license. So nursing assistants are going to have to do more. Medical technicians are going to have to do more. We need to use Everybody right now, the buzzword is AI. AI is going to apparently solve all of the world's problems, which I'm not a believer in that. I've seen that AI can bring some things to the table that are great, and I've also seen the over-reliance on something that isn't even here yet. In the IT world, there's a lot of promises, and we've got I'm just a guy that has to see it before I believe it. So I'm hoping that we can get to that. So we're going to have to do more with people moving up the chain and doing more of their share of the bigger work so that we can afford this cost structure it's going to take to support it. And since you asked the question, I'm going to take a chance to, I've been looking forward to this forever, to opine on population health. The theory's great, right? I mean, they brought this out years ago. The theory of population health is great. Get in front of the, keep people healthy, feed them, make sure they're eating and living healthy lifestyles, and everything will be great. And then they tried to build, insurance companies try to put incentives in for healthcare systems to do this. The reality is, until the insurance companies and the healthcare systems are embedded and have the same incentives for success, it's not going to happen. Because what I found in my previous life was the insurance companies were all too happy for me to take on population health, but they weren't too happy to pay for it when the time came. They look at that as their money, and that's the issue that I think we've still got going forward. And we need some more investment in the community, truthfully. That would solve a lot of these things. I don't know how to solve the housing problem. I'm not smart enough. But we've got to get people a safe place to be, and we've got to get food to people that need it, and we've got to make sure that they're doing the best that we can to help support them be healthy. The problem again with population health is if you do that, it solves it when they're age 30. So if they're born and they live a healthy life at age 30, you see the benefit. Between that and 30, all it looks like is cost. And so we have to either believe in our mantra and live with it, or we need to go away from it. I would say right now, Hennepin County's pivoting towards being the best safety net hospital health system it can be, and not more than that, because we can't be. And we're going to try to offload some of the population health things back to the county and back to the state to help with that. Hennepin County's been doing a lot of that, and we're not getting paid for it. And so we're going to have to figure out how to manage that.
I think that's a good way to pivot because we talked about trauma and we talked about burn and specialists before, and then you talk about safety net and how you have these buckets of care, right? And when you think about the trauma and burn unit, or you look at it in the spectrum of care, obviously it's critical, life-saving when you need it. However, you can't plan for that as much as the population or, chronic disease, obesity, those kinds of things. How do you look at that on the in the pie chart of where resources need to be or should be? Because, I'm guessing that's some of that trauma care is the most expensive for being under or uncompensated in the long term.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if I know the answer to it, to be in all honesty. I think that, first of all, let me just say this about Hennepin County Medical Center. Probably half or more of the physicians in the state of Minnesota have spent time at Hennepin County Medical Center during their training and going and worked. Some have worked there and then have gone out into greater Minnesota to provide care. And so it's truly a state asset. I just want to make that point. It's truly a state asset. When it comes to trauma and burn and that, they're all important things. One of the things that is still core to Hennepin County Medical Center is the medical care that it provides on top of all that. And that's day-to-day primary care that's delivered through by internists and family medicine folks. And we really need to feel good about the care that we provide there. So I think we're going to continue to look at that in a different way. I would tell you that the primary care clinics in the Hennepin County system aren't financially viable for us long term. They often do things. So we're doing some, taking some steps. We're looking at other ways to fund them. There's something called an FQHC that we can use, which is a federally funded qualified plan. We might move some of our clinics into that or all of them. We've got one multi-specialty clinic that with a lot of high-end physicians for that kind of care. We're going to continue to do that. In the trauma world, which is a little near and dear to my heart, that one I would say, one thing, it's expensive care. But when you go to a trauma center, it's been shown over and over, and get your care, it's less expensive than it would be if you were not at a trauma center. So there are cost savings that are delivered with that expertise. And to be a trauma center, you have to concentrate so many resources in one area that it'd be a shame to have to try to replicate that all over the state. You know, Minnesota has a state trauma system, and there's different verification levels, and the nomenclature around that is, you know, you everybody that presents trauma care in is a trauma hospital in Minnesota is expected to do it in a way that demonstrates good quality care. The difference between the levels is just the resources that are available, and it's expensive to be a level one. It's expensive. You got to have people sitting around waiting for people to arrive, and so that usually requires subsidy to make that all work. And so going forward, I think the state's going to have to decide whether Hennepin having a place like Hennepin County Medical Center is worth it for them. I believe they're going to see that they can't live without it, but it's another thing we have to look at. I mean, if we can't find the funding for it, we'd have to look at whether we would continue to be anything going forward. We'd be a trauma center, whether we do burn. We're going to have to look at all of those things. They are core to the belief of who Hennepin County Medical Center is, so I don't say that lightly. I mean, we're just looking at everything with an open eye, and I believe that David and I were probably brought in to help run the place, or at least assist the place, because it's really hard to be in the mix and look at how you can do things differently. You know, every time we bring something up that's new, I get that look of pain from the people that it's going to affect, like, because you're making me change. What's wrong with you? You know, but we're going to have to look at things differently and deliver it.
Commissioner Lundy talked about North, and you obviously are familiar with North Memorial. These two hospitals serve some similar populations. There's some adjacent pieces that North does that HCMC doesn't do, and vice versa. When you think about those two facilities being so close together, is there more complements between those two that could be done? I, for instance, full disclosure, I see a cardiologist at North, so but I would not have gone and seen a cardiologist at HCMC. It just wasn't in my world, but that seems to be kind of complementary. And the folks at North tell me they'd like to see more guys for me and for cardiology and less, kind of demand trauma stuff. So how can you complement each other if there is, if there is a population in the same county, what, 5 miles from each other, 7 miles from each other? Is there more opportunity there?
You know, you're asking a question that I kind of sit here chuckling to myself, smiling, because I really believe that the two entities belong together in some fashion. That's not going to make me, I don't know if that's going to make me popular or unpopular with the North people, but you know, the reality is you see the synergies that the two provide. They're both county, whether we want to admit it or not, they're both resources for communities that need help. There'd be, in my mind, there's easy ways to streamline things so that we don't have to be all things to all people at both sites. And there are efficiencies that are created by, number one, administrative efficiencies that could be created by having a relationship together. I always see North as being a separate entity from Hennepin County Medical Center, but I think they could be sharing services and sharing specialists and share and all the high cost things. One thing that's, if you look at it, what really drives a lot of costs in healthcare is specialization. And part of it's because we get competitive. So every system in town has to have a I'm going to reattach a left pinky finger specialist, and then they compete, and there's not enough business for all of them, and then they end up being subsidized. Here's an opportunity to share resources across two places, make that work better, start looking at a more realistic way of collaborating with the rest of the community and some of the higher end care. And I think it'd be a match that would really benefit the community in ways that people haven't even thought of yet.
I don't know if this fits, but just kind of the last topic here is over across the river, Ramsey County Health Partners has worked and partnered and taken over Regions years ago. They don't seem to have the financial stress. Is it population based? Is it system based? Have you looked at what's different on the other side of the river for the quasi public hospital there?
Yeah, it's a good call. I don't know that I know all the specifics, but I would tell you this. Regions is Regions is a really well-run hospital. Megan Remark's done a remarkable job there. But I also think that their biggest asset is their relationship with a payer, payer side of that, because I think those two work together. It's not that they're getting paid more than everybody else. Maybe they are, I don't know, but I doubt it. I think it's just the fact that their incentives are aligned, and it makes behaviors work together when you're talking about things like population health, where they both reward for delivering that kind of quality care. And I think a relationship with a payer would be ideal for Hennepin County Medical Center. I'm just not sure they're going to want to take us on right now while we're in crisis. So I think if we can get them out of that and we can get some sort of an entity, I tried to do this at North and like I say, it was a good idea that failed. But I think in the end, Hennepin County Medical Center needs to be a part of something bigger. And if that would be North, great. If it's something else, great. And then I think that bigger entity needs to belong to an insurance company or align with an insurance company so that, again, the financial incentives can be worked out and you can share information and create a seamless pathway forward. And I really see that as a win. We're going to have to do some steps to be attractive to something like that, however.
Sounds great. Dr. Croston, thanks for joining me on Sunday Take.
Thank you.
When we come back, this week's take. Welcome back to Sunday Take. This week's take is what I hope to be a theme for the next several episodes of the show. And that is big issues facing our state that need to be discussed, debated, and will require policy thoughtfulness and political courage in the next year, not just in the legislative session, but also in the campaign. Minnesotans deserve a discussion about big issues. We deserve solutions. If we're going to tout our civic engagement, then our civic engagement needs to be policy-based and not just politics or activist-based. This week's topic of HCMC is just one of several issues facing our communities and our state. Healthcare is in a volatile state in Minnesota, a place where we pride ourselves on our healthcare system. From Mayo to Innovation to the University of Minnesota, some of the puzzle pieces are falling in place to see the future of healthcare in Minnesota. But it's going to take the next governor and some leaders to really knit these together, to find some connective tissue financially with some guardrails to ensure that we stay a healthy state. And staying a healthy state does not mean everybody gets everything, because that's not sustainable. But rather, the interconnectedness of our systems from HCMC to Mayo, to the regional hospitals, to the rural hospitals, to the clinics, to care. A lot of people talk about health equity, but the reality is, if you live in rural Minnesota, you don't have health equity because you don't have specialists nearby. You don't have access to physicians the way you once did. And that's because we have a labor shortage, we have a physician shortage, but we also have a healthcare model that has too much administrative bloat. We have a healthcare model that leads the nation in what we pay our healthcare workers, but our federal reimbursement rates don't match it. Healthcare is one of the big issues that this campaign season needs to have a discussion. And the loud voices, the noise, will talk about single payer or a state-based system. But the reality is, quality would suffer, and Minnesota can't afford to let anything else suffer when it comes to the quality. In fact, research shows that our healthcare system is one of the top quality of life issues that Minnesotans appreciate. And so we have to maintain it, and not just maintain it, we should strive to improve it. Candidates for governor and others should put it out there as a beacon on a different model where you can have great health care and not pay too much for it. Everything costs money. That's the reality. But during this year, as we talk about the financial future, the economic future of our state, it's really critical that we are innovative in our ideas. Because, as I've said it before, and I'll say it again throughout this year, this has to be about the vision for the future of Minnesota, not just a political pillow fight over partisanship. HCMC is this week, next week. Plan is we're going to talk about agriculture, some of the pinch points of agriculture in the state, how Minnesota is faring, and what we need to do to continue to be an innovation leader in agriculture too. I'm Blaise Olson. I'll be with Vanita at 6:20 Monday through Thursday. You can follow along at thedailyagenda.com. You can always check out the Fluence Election Tracker as well. FluenceElectionTracker.com. Until next week, that's the take.